Have you ever wondered why some people consistently outperform others despite similar talents or resources? Allen Stein Jr. has the answer. As a performance coach who worked with basketball superstars like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, Stein discovered that elite achievement follows the same principles whether on the court or in the boardroom. His book, Raise Your Game, has become a favorite among business executives and sports figures alike, with endorsements from leadership experts like Jay Billis and Simon Sinek. The book's popularity stems from its practical approach to excellence, focusing on fundamentals rather than flashy tactics. Drawing from his courtside observations of future NBA stars and conversations with legendary coaches, Stein reveals the deceptively simple secret to sustained success: mastering the basics and consistently doing the little things better than everyone else. Self-awareness is the cornerstone of all success. Without understanding who you are, what you can and cannot do, and where you need improvement, progress becomes impossible. The most dangerous people in any organization are those who don't know what they don't know. They operate with blind spots that undermine their effectiveness and the team's performance. True self-awareness means focusing on what you can control, primarily your effort and attitude, rather than wasting energy on external factors beyond your influence. Legendary UCLA coach John Wooden exemplified this philosophy when teaching his players the proper way to put on socks and shoes. This seemingly trivial instruction prevented blisters that could affect performance, a small, controllable detail that created competitive advantage. Self-awareness also means doubling down on your strengths rather than trying to become well-rounded. NBA sharpshooters Kyle Korver and J.J. Redick built entire careers around one exceptional skill: shooting. Instead of trying to become elite dribblers or defenders, they perfected their specialty and found roles where that strength could shine. Similarly, Howard Schultz demonstrated organizational self-awareness when he temporarily closed 7,000 Starbucks stores for barista retraining after noticing declining espresso quality, a $23 million decision that ultimately saved the company by refocusing on its core strength. The journey to self-awareness often comes through experience and failure. When the author attempted his first marathon with youthful overconfidence, he collapsed at mile 17, learning a humbling lesson about his limitations. NBA player Markelle Fultz showed remarkable self-awareness by starting on Dematha High School's freshman team rather than seeking immediate glory elsewhere. Through humility and systematic improvement, he progressed to become an All-American and the number one NBA draft pick in 2017. Developing self-awareness requires honest feedback. The author recommends a self-test exercise. Ask your inner circle to evaluate qualities like your communication skills, courage, discipline, and optimism. This reveals blind spots, as research shows 95% of people claim to be self-aware, while few truly are. The Dunning-Kruger effect demonstrates this disconnect. Those least competent are often most confident in their abilities. True self-awareness means confronting fears and insecurities rather than avoiding them, creating a solid foundation for growth. Passion transforms work from obligation into privilege. When you genuinely love what you do, the necessary hustle naturally follows. It becomes the engine carrying you through hardship and uncertainty. As performance coach Tim Grover wrote, "You don't have to love the hard work, you just have to crave the end result so intensely that the hard work is irrelevant." A simple mindset shift can ignite passion, reframing have-to tasks as get-to opportunities. This perspective change acknowledges privilege where others might see burden. Passion provides the energy needed to develop grit, the persistence to apply that passion productively over time. Entrepreneur Jesse Itzler exemplifies passion-driven success. He built multiple successful businesses not by chasing money, but by following his interests, from recording rap demos during midnight studio sessions to creating the New York Knicks theme song and founding companies he later sold to Warren Buffett and Coca-Cola. His passion fueled the necessary persistence to overcome obstacles. Passion means giving your whole self to your endeavors, what the Greeks call meraki. NBA legend Charles Barkley demonstrated this when, despite wearing a medical boot for an injury, he insisted on practicing and managed to dunk 10 times in a row on one foot. Mark Cuban showed similar drive by turning seemingly dead-end jobs into learning opportunities, reading computer manuals cover to cover during his time as a software store clerk. Success is built on embracing unglamorous work with enthusiasm. Bill Belichick began his legendary coaching career by volunteering to analyze film for free, the worst job for no pay, and got no credit for it. Eric Spoelstra similarly spent countless hours breaking down film before eventually coaching LeBron James and Dwayne Wade to NBA championships. Creating your own opportunities is essential. Tim Grover transformed from an unknown trainer to a legend by fearlessly pursuing Michael Jordan as a client. Tom Brady went from sixth-round draft pick to one of football's greatest quarterbacks by being prepared when his moment came. Competition fuels passion, the Latin root meaning to strive together, which is why great teams compete with each other daily in practice. The most successful people don't just tolerate discomfort, but actively seek it out, knowing that temporary discomfort leads to permanent improvement. They trust the process and don't fear failure, understanding that studying failures provides the greatest learning opportunities. As Warren Buffett demonstrates, analyzing what went wrong creates more wisdom than celebrating what went right. Discipline is the bridge between preparation and opportunity. The author rejects the concept of luck, seeing it instead as the expected collision between preparation and opportunity. Success comes from being ready when opportunity presents itself, working on your craft daily, doing what others won't, and continuously learning through reading, watching, and studying your field. The six keys to preparation include reading extensively about your field, studying successful practitioners, observing best practices, evaluating your own performance, reaching out to mentors, and taking calculated risks. Good habits are difficult to form but easy to live with, while bad habits are easy to form but difficult to live with. In our distraction-filled world, those who can perform deep work, focusing intensely without interruption, gain a significant competitive advantage. LeBron James demonstrates this mental discipline through his remarkable ability to recall game details with perfect clarity, sometimes recounting entire sequences of plays from memory. NBA stars exemplify discipline through their approach to fundamentals. The author witnessed Steph Curry's relentless pursuit of perfection as a college sophomore, refusing to leave practice until swishing 5 consecutive free throws. Similarly, Kobe Bryant's legendary 4 a.m. blackout workouts focused entirely on mastering basic skills. When asked why he practiced such simple drills, Kobe replied, "Why do you think I'm the best player in the game? Because I never get bored with the basics." Our culture encourages skipping steps and seeking shortcuts, but true success comes from mastering fundamentals and putting in the unseen hours that others avoid. As Jay Billis's father taught him, you cannot skip steps on a ladder without falling. Mark Cuban's knowledge advantage came from his relentless preparation, buying every book and magazine about computers when starting his career. Discipline means focusing on process over outcome, comparing it to laying each brick perfectly to build a sturdy wall. Dave Bullwinkle, a Chicago Bulls scout, demonstrates how preparation is evaluated when no one thinks they're being watched, observing players' pregame routines and interactions hours before tip-off to assess their discipline and habits. Coachability is essential for improvement, requiring one to actively seek and embrace feedback. The author defines feedback as the sound of the world responding to us, a neutral input that becomes positive or negative only when we attach emotions to it. Those who are closed to coaching are closed to development and success. Progress comes only by pushing beyond comfort zones. In high-intensity training, muscle growth happens only when reaching momentary muscular failure. Similarly, a basketball player who never loses the ball during dribbling drills isn't improving. They're merely replicating what they already know. whom Depot co-founder Arthur Blank demonstrated business coachability by specifically seeking out customers who left without buying anything to learn what his stores were missing. Coachability breaks down into three essential components: trust, full confidence between coach and player; openness, humility and desire to welcome instruction; and execution, the ability to carry out the desired action. Kevin Durant exemplified this when the author first met him as a skinny high school junior. After a brutal workout that left Durant exhausted, the young player admitted he didn't enjoy it, but recognized it was necessary for his NBA dreams. Even as an MVP, Durant maintains this coachability, working during the offseason as if he's still trying to get to the NBA. Failure is an essential part of growth. UCLA coach John Wooden taught players not to fear making a mistake if it was the right kind of mistake, noting that the team that makes the most mistakes usually wins. Sarah Blakely of Spanx celebrates oops moments in her office, a habit she credits to her father, who would ask what she had failed at each week during family dinners. Success depends not on avoiding failure, but on how one responds to it, what the author calls your bounce back. Steve Jobs' famous firing from Apple and subsequent triumphant return exemplifies turning failure into foundation for future success. The author, who faces rejection daily as a professional speaker, reframes each no as bringing him closer to a yes. Those with growth mindsets see failures as doors to open rather than walls that stop progress. Being coachable means remaining open to lessons from unexpected sources. UFC champion Frank Shamrock, despite his deadly fighting skills, carries himself with humility and openness about past mistakes. Shamrock lives by a plus equals minus system, learning from those ahead of him, exchanging with equals, and sharing with those behind him. This approach recognizes that valuable ideas can come from anyone, regardless of status or position. Confidence emerges as the culmination of self-awareness, passion, discipline, and coachability. The author distinguishes authentic confidence as being earned through preparation and experience, not empty self-esteem. He warns against the comparison game, calling it rigged because it has no function besides enlarging self-doubt. Looking around at fellow airplane passengers, he notes how easy it is to find someone who exceeds you in any metric, making comparison a losing proposition. The author shares his marathon experience, where negative self-talk defeated him, contrasting it with his later Stratton Mountain Challenge, where proper preparation built genuine confidence. Despite not completing all 17 ascents of the mountain, he found satisfaction in pushing his limits without succumbing to negative thinking. From this experience, he learned 7 key lessons about confidence. 1. Complacency is the enemy of growth. 2. Physical discomfort creates emotional connection. 3. Preparation builds legitimate confidence. 4. Mental strength can overcome physical limitations. 5. Support systems are essential for success. 6. Failure provides valuable learning opportunities. 7. Satisfaction comes from giving your best effort. Confidence comes from preparation, as demonstrated by NBA MVP Steve Nash, who practiced thousands of solutions for game situations. By the time he faced a challenge in a real game, he had already solved it countless times in practice. This level of preparation creates authentic confidence that withstands pressure. Optimism is essential for champions, as it helps set higher goals and maintain engagement through difficulties. While realism has its place, the ability to envision positive outcomes even in challenging circumstances separates elite performers from average ones. Great leaders, like elite point guards in basketball, possess vision that extends beyond current circumstances. Just as Chris Paul can anticipate where players will be before they arrive there, effective leaders see both present conditions and future possibilities. The author observed Paul's extraordinary work ethic, rising at 5 a.m. to complete his own full workout before running his elite guard camp for younger players. Visionary leaders can spot talent where only potential exists, seeing what players or employees could become rather than just what they currently are. They balance commitment to convictions with willingness to adapt, understanding their purpose beyond mere function. Strategic vision provides direction and prevents aimless effort, with effective leaders conducting brief micro-coaching sessions to keep everyone aligned with the larger goal. Vision acts as both blueprint and scaffolding, as demonstrated by Kevin Plank's journey from walk-on football player to founding Under Armour. The most powerful vision can often be distilled to a single word, as with Apple's commitment to simplicity. Creative vision frequently emerges in humble spaces like garages and dorm rooms, where childlike curiosity and polarizing ideas can flourish without immediate judgment. Leaders must effectively communicate and sell their vision, breaking it into manageable parts while maintaining sight of the larger goal. This requires both conviction in the vision's value and flexibility in how it's implemented. The most effective visions inspire people to action not because they must comply, but because they genuinely believe in where they're headed. Culture forms the foundation of any successful organization, the collective values, beliefs, behaviors, and environment that determines how things actually get done. A positive culture develops organically when everyone feels inspired, safe, and appreciated, where individuals know their contributions matter and they're being challenged to grow. Boston Celtics coach Brad Stevens exemplifies culture-building leadership. Taking over a storied franchise at just 36 years old, Stevens refused to be intimidated by tradition and immediately focused on changing the culture. Despite constant roster turnover and devastating injuries during the 2017-28 season, his Celtics remained contenders, a testament to the environment he created. Stevens understands that culture is a living thing that must be embedded in people who choose to pass it on, not just words in laminated packets. He carefully selects assistants who are intelligent, creative, hardworking, and humble, recognizing that staff chemistry directly affects team chemistry. He empathizes with players in different roles, helping bench players understand they can still add tremendous value without playing time, and focuses on creating a culture where the process matters more than immediate results. Culture truly manifests when the boss isn't around, just like parenting is best measured by what children do when parents aren't watching. Steve Kerr's Warriors winning the 2017 championship while he was sidelined with back pain demonstrates this principle perfectly. Despite Golden State's immense talent, Kerr's humble leadership provided the essential foundation. The same players achieved little under previous coaching. At Duke, Coach Mike Krzyzewski establishes culture by connecting each player's actions to the larger organization from day one. "Remember that whatever happens to you happens to all of us," he tells them, fostering both family bonds and accountability. When recruiting Jay Williams as a teenager, Coach K didn't promise playing time or NBA stardom, but rather that, "by the time you leave here, you will be prepared for life." True culture requires consent. Members must choose to embrace, share, and maintain it. As Simon Sinek explains, genuine leadership makes others follow willingly because they want to, not because they must. Smart leaders target influential team members who can trigger widespread acceptance. Google's half-trillion-dollar success stems from a culture that encourages experimentation and values failure as learning. Their X division even rewards teams for ending on successful projects, preventing wasted resources on doomed initiatives. Google maintains organizational flatness. Executives receive the same benefits as new hires, with no special parking spots or executive bathrooms. Culture remains fragile while being established, vulnerable to disruption from negative personalities. Stanford professor Robert Sutton's famous no-a-hole rule screens potential hires who might poison the workplace environment. Negative people function like viruses, their attitudes infecting every aspect of an organization. The New Zealand All Blacks rugby team, despite their rough sport, maintains a similar no-dickheads policy. Zappos exemplifies culture in action, combining profits, passion, and purpose in tangible ways. Their headquarters features colorful, inviting spaces rather than corporate sterility. They famously cut off the ties of interviewees who arrive overdressed, signaling their casual approach. Employees must memorize 10 core values and identify colleagues' faces when logging in each morning. Most remarkably, Zappos offers new hires $4,000 to quit after 3 weeks of training, testing if they value the company over quick money. This commitment to culture has resulted in an astonishingly low 2% attrition rate. The fundamental principle of effective leadership is that you work for your people, not the other way around. People aren't loyal to jobs or businesses, they're loyal to other people. This loyalty creates commitment, strengthens culture, and ultimately produces results. When Spurs forward LaMarcus Aldridge asked to be traded, coach Greg Popovich took the blame publicly, admitting to total overcoaching. This humility exemplifies how great coaches understand they're there to serve their players. As PJ Carlesimo noted, relationships with your players is more important than your X's and O's. Without this personal foundation, even the smartest strategies won't be properly executed. George "Coach" Raveling, former college basketball coach, Nike executive, and Hall of Famer, epitomizes servant leadership. In over 100 coaching interviews, roughly 75% named Raveling as their greatest career influence. Despite his accomplishments, at age 80, he still emphasized servanthood. Every human being was placed on earth to serve the needs of others. At Kentucky, John Calipari embodies player-centered leadership, even titling his book, Players First. During practices, he's demanding but never demeaning, pushing players because he genuinely cares about their dreams. His assistant, Joel Justice, explains their philosophy. Coaching elite talent all starts with relationships. If that young man or woman knows that you are for them, you got a chance. Just as Gary Chapman's 5 love languages explains how people receive love differently, leaders must understand each team member's appreciation language. Some prefer public recognition, others want time off, and still others desire tangible rewards. A Gallup poll confirms that recognition and appreciation are the top workplace motivators. When Kevin Durant said he wanted his nickname to be The Servant, many mocked him. But Durant understood that true leadership means putting others' needs ahead of your own. His decision to join the Warriors wasn't taking the easy path. It was sacrificing personal prominence for a larger goal. Servant leadership connects personal needs to team success through compassion and empathy. Great companies prioritize employees over profits, understanding that well-cared-for employees create sustainable businesses. Starbucks exemplifies this by providing health benefits to part-timers and funding college tuition, not as charity, but as investment in growth. Even during financial trouble in 2008, Howard Schultz maintained these commitments. As Simon Sinek notes, customers will never love a company until the employees love it first. Character is about who you are, not just what you do, the raw material necessary for effective leadership. A leader who preaches one thing but behaves differently loses all credibility. Character means acting with integrity without expecting rewards and earning respect through consistent behavior. When Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski visited Montrose Christian High School to recruit a player, he demonstrated remarkable character by being fully present during his conversation with the author. Coach K asked about the recruit's character and work ethic, not athletic ability, and later responded to a thank you note with his own handwritten letter. This small gesture made a profound impression, revealing Coach K's consistent character in treating everyone with respect. Character means seeing people as people, not as means to an end. When Rick Welts was a teenage ball boy for the Seattle Supersonics, only 3 players treated him with respect: Lenny Wilkins, Rod Thorne, and Thomas Meschery, all of whom had distinguished post-playing careers. As Robert Sutton noted, the difference between how a person treats the powerless versus the powerful is as good a measure of human character as I know. Character builds magnetic loyalty in business. When Lexus had to recall their first model in 1989, they called every owner individually, flew mechanics to customers without nearby dealerships, detailed cars, and provided full gas tanks. Similarly, when Airbnb faced its first crisis, CEO Brian Chesty ignored advisors suggesting he downplay the incident, instead taking full responsibility and increasing their host insurance policy from $5,000 to $50,000. True leaders demonstrate character by doing the grunt work themselves rather than delegating it to rookies. Tim Duncan, the San Antonio Spurs star, always took the early practice bus meant for rookies, eventually influencing the entire team to arrive early. At DeMatha High School, Coach Jones still sweeps the floor before every practice to show he's not above any job. Character means understanding that business isn't always zero sum. Adam Grant's research shows givers who focus on others' needs often achieve greater success. UNC coach Dean Smith exemplified this by encouraging top players to leave early for the NBA draft when financially beneficial for them, which ultimately attracted better recruits. After his death, Smith arranged for every player who had lettered on his teams, 180 players over 36 years, to receive a $200 check for a meal on coach, demonstrating his character extended beyond his lifetime. Any gap between what you say and what you do, hypocrisy, undermines your ability to guide and lead. The most successful leaders maintain consistency in their behavior regardless of setting. Character cannot be taught, making it the first quality to look for when building a team. Cohesion represents the culmination of belief, unselfishness, role clarity, and communication. It's the harmonious functioning of an organization whose members believe in the mission, share credit unselfishly, understand their specific roles, and communicate effectively. Phil Jackson described it as a team working like five fingers on a hand, each with distinct characteristics, but operating unconsciously as a unified whole. Not all teams look like traditional teams. Record-setting mountain climber Colin O'Brady completed the Explorers Grand Slam faster than anyone in history. Despite appearing as a solo achievement, O'Brady emphasizes that his accomplishments required cohesive teams. After overcoming severe burns that doctors said might prevent him from walking again, O'Brady achieved remarkable feats while remaining humble about the collective effort involved. He defines cohesion as when everyone feels the same urgency and desire to succeed together, noting that hierarchical structures often fail to get the best from the collective whole. The author admires San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich's ability to maintain team cohesion through 21 years of inevitable player turnover. After a devastating NBA Finals loss to Miami in 2013, Popovich insisted on keeping the team dinner reservation rather than canceling it, understanding that in defeat, players needed to feel connected as people even more than in victory. Former Spur Will Perdue noted that Popovich saw you as a human being first and a basketball player second. The author shares a cohesion exercise called 10 Assists learned from mentor Rich Shoebrooks. Start each day with 10 pennies in your left pocket and transfer one to your right pocket each time you help a teammate. You cannot leave work until you've performed 10 assists. From bringing coffee to helping meet deadlines, recognizing that attention is our most valuable currency. Effective cohesion requires team members with complementary skills. The best leaders recognize they don't need to excel at everything themselves, but should assemble a team that fills in their gaps. Teams also need glue guys who handle the little things that aren't explicitly assigned but are vital to team success. Those who live by, nothing here is someone else's job. Cohesion may be instinctual, but gets destroyed by ego as we age. Peter Skillman's experiment, where kindergartners consistently outperformed business school students in a design challenge, demonstrates this. Children focus on the goal rather than status. UNC coach Dean Smith valued team cohesion over winning, sometimes punishing everyone for one player's infraction to emphasize team over individual ego. The final element of cohesion is celebrating victories together. Coach Jay Wright's philosophy, if you're excited, turn and give that energy to your teammates. Celebration should be inclusive, group-focused, and bring enjoyment to the work environment. Even small successes should be recognized, as teams that suffer and celebrate together build stronger cohesion. Success originates from commitment. There's never an excuse to let someone outwork you. The author dismisses shortcuts, stressing that nothing valuable comes without effort. He encourages readers unhappy with their current situation to address changeable elements, whether through drastic changes, minor adjustments, or attitude shifts. Using Daniel Pink's framework of start right, start again, start together, the author emphasizes that each day offers a new beginning. Research shows people who say I don't instead of I can't have higher success rates in changing habits. This shift emphasizes personal choice and responsibility. Volleyball champion Karch Kuralli's approach of preparing only to win the next play provides a manageable framework for tackling overwhelming challenges. Similarly, when the author faced the grueling Hell on the Hill workout, coach Steve Wojciechowski taught him to focus on one rep 30 more times rather than the entirety of the challenge. The journey to excellence is never complete. It's a daily commitment to improvement. By focusing on the fundamentals, serving others, and building cohesive teams, anyone can raise their game to new heights. The principles that create championship basketball teams can transform businesses, relationships, and lives when applied with consistency and purpose.